Amen, amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
What a glorious day that God has given us. Amen, amen. Okay, scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of Exodus. Book of Exodus, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And I will be reading from the King James Version. Again, that is the book of Exodus, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And it reads, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus said the Lord of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.' And Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go.'" And that is the reading of the word. Exodus 5, verses 1 and 2. To God be the glory. Amen. Amen.
Morning.
Morning.
I appreciate the opportunity once again to stand before you in the absence of Greg. Please keep him in your prayer as he is away conducting another meeting. He's a busy man, busy man, but that's a good thing. As read in your hearing, God wanted Pharaoh to let his people go, that they may serve him in the wilderness. Wanted them to go 3 days' journey in order to serve him. Exodus 3 and verse 18. Exodus 3 and verse 7, God saw. He said, "I have surely seen the affliction." In Exodus 3 and verse 10, God sent, came to Moses and said, "I will send thee unto Pharaoh." In Exodus 4 and verse 22 and 23, God said through Moses and Aaron, "Let my people go, that they may serve me." But Pharaoh had many responses to the Lord's request, and only one of those responses suited the Lord. This contest between the Lord and Pharaoh calls to mind the childhood game Simon Says. Remember that game? You know, where Simon had all authority, and the players had to do what Simon said, or they would be put out of the game. Well, Pharaoh thought he had all authority, and he expected the Lord's people to do all that he said. What Pharaoh said to Moses is no different than what Satan is saying to us today. From here, we will turn our attention to Satan Says. In Exodus chapter 8 and verse 25, one of the responses of Pharaoh was, "Go ye sacrifice to your God in the land." Now remember, God wanted the people to go into the wilderness, 3 days' journey. But Pharaoh said, "Go ye in the land." So he wanted them in it in Egypt. So Satan says to us, just like in Exodus 5, we're going to look at some things. In the land, not very far, ye that are men, not your flocks and herds, be gone, and tomorrow. So first of all, we're going to look at the first thing that Satan said when he, just like Pharaoh, served the God in the land, worship where you are in the world. You don't need the church. But you know, the Lord says that he adds the saved to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47. "And praising God and having favor with the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." The church is the ecclesia. That's what the Greek word is. It means to call out. What are we called out from? Well, we're called out from the world, because the Lord wants us to be separated from the world and from worldliness. We're in the world, of course, but we're not of the world. "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17 and 18. One church is as good as any other. That's another thing that Satan says. Well, the Lord says there's only one body. There's only one body. There's one body, one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. Ephesians 4 and verse 4. Well, what is that body? But before we get there, let's look at something else the Lord said about the body. It says he is the savior of the body. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So if Christ is the savior of the body, I want to be in the body. But what is the body? What is the body? Well, the Lord says the church is the body. And it put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Yep, one church. So I want to be in the body. But not only that, the Lord said, or Satan said, or Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away. Satan says, you can serve the Lord, but don't go too far. Don't go too far. He don't want us to go too far because he wants us near. He wants to be able to get back to us whenever he can. So Satan says, don't go too far. Don't go too far in attendance. Don't go too far in attendance. Why do you need to worship every week? Every week. Do you have to come to PM worship? Isn't that going a bit too far? Don't you have better things to do with your time? That's what Satan says. But the Lord says there's a great purpose for us to assemble. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love. That's one good purpose right there. And to good works. That's another great purpose. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Exhorting one another. That's another great purpose for assembling. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. Let me ask you a question. Can you think of anything better to do with your time? Well, Satan thinks you can. Don't go too far in giving. Satan says you work hard for your money. Why do you have to give to the church? Do you really have all that much to give? What does the Lord care anyway? What the Lord said is, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 20 and verse 35. We should give as we have been prosperous. See, the Lord is not trying to break our bank. If we give, if we've prospered, then that allows us to give with joy. We can give with joy. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 1 and 2. We're to give as we have been prosperous. But God loves a cheerful giver. That's what the Lord says. Every man according to as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. So you know, when you give in accordance to how you have been prospered, you should be able to give with joy. And that's the way God wants us to give. But Satan says, yeah, that's going too far. Satan says, don't go too far in prayer. Don't go too far in prayer. What's the point in you praying all the time? Does God relate to my needs anyway? Well, the Lord says, pray all the time. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, it says to pray without ceasing. You know what's really interesting? Jesus had all power, yet he prayed all the time. We have very little power, and sometimes we fail to pray. You know, we should be praying all the time. And you know what? Don't think that Jesus don't understand, because the Lord says he does understand. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That's Hebrews 4 and verse 15 and 16. Therefore, we're to come boldly to the throne of God. Boldly. And we're to ask God for those things that we need. We are to pray all the time. We should be a praying people. But not only that, the Holy Spirit is helping. Do you realize that? Do you realize that? Likewise, the Spirit also helps with our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself, which means himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Hebrews 8, verse 26 and 27. So, think of it this way. You know, God sent his son already. And now God is saying, you know what? Father said, I'm not going to put up with him anymore. I can't put up with this. But then look at Jesus. What is Jesus called? Our mediator. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the mediator. And Jesus understands because he's been here. He's been through it. So Jesus is standing in the gap. He's standing in the gap. And now you got the Holy Spirit pleading on our behalf. Mm-hmm. You got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But guess what? You grieve the Holy Spirit, and then you trample upon the blood of Jesus Christ with your sin. Now you got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit against you. We better be praying. We better be a praying people. A praying people. But then Satan would say, don't go too far in evangelism. That's not your job. That's what the preacher is hired to do. What the Lord says, the gospel is for all. In Mark 16, verse 15, he said to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel is for all. Spreading it is for all. Remember in Acts chapter 8 when the church was being persecuted? And then they were scattered abroad. It says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching. That means spreading it is for all of us. All of us should be spreading the gospel. And don't worry, because God will give the increase. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. That's what Paul would tell the Corinthians. So then neither is he that planteth anything. I'm nothing. My job is to plant the seed. Neither he that watereth. We're just planting the seed. But it's God that giveth the increase. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 6 through 7. You know, like it said that they filled Jerusalem with that doctrine. Could we fill our homes with the doctrine? Can we fill our neighborhoods with the doctrine? Can we fill our communities with the doctrine? And can we fill Hampton Roads with the doctrine? Amen. Hey, you know what? Satan says, that's going too far. That's just going too far. Don't go too far in Bible study. Yeah, Sunday worship, right? This is Satan now. Yes, Sunday worship. Isn't that enough? Isn't that enough? What benefit is Bible study anyway? Well, you know, the Lord says, if you want to be a strong, God-pleasing, fruit-bearing Christian, you need to avail yourself for every opportunity to study God's word. I can't put it no better than the psalmist in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate both day and night. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Man, what a Christian that would be. And you know what? If you're not studying God's word, if you want to be like that old rickety Charlie Brown Christmas tree, stay away from Bible study. That's what Satan wants you to do. But then Satan says, don't go too far in purity. Impurity. Does it matter how you live your life? You're not hurting anyone. That's what Satan wants you to know. What does it matter? People are going to do what they're going to do anyway, no matter how I live. Well, the Lord says it does matter. How we act, how we speak, and how we carry ourselves. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, if you didn't be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid in Christ, in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also with him in glory. If you want to appear with Christ in glory, it does matter how you live your life. You know the very way we dress matters. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness. You know, that's talking about bashfulness. That's what that word means. And sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearl or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 through 10. That means you, doesn't mean you can't braid your hair, you can't wear pearls and gold. It's what it's saying is your focus should be how you are appareled from within. That should be your focus. Not look at me, look at me, look at me. It should be the character that you're dressed with. That's what people should be noticing. That's what people should be looking at. Our conduct will either help bring a soul to Christ. Listen to this. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if they obey not the word, they may also, without the word, be won. How? By the conversation of the wise. That means your manner of life, the way you conduct yourself. You can win a soul without a word. Without a word. As they behold your conversation. While they behold your chaste conversation. That word chaste. That's a real interesting word. Because it means without carnality. Free from carnality. Modest. Men, we can learn a lesson from that word. Your chaste conversation coupled with fear. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 2. Or our conduct can help turn a soul away. It says of the older women to teach the younger women to be discreet, chaste keepers of the home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Do you know the way you live can help a person to blaspheme God? The way you dress, the way you carry yourself, the way you look, or the way you talk, the way you speak, the way you act. It could help someone to blaspheme God. That's in Titus chapter 2 and verse 5. You know, it was told to me by a couple of men that they were trying to win their wives to Christ. And so they had their wives to visit the church. Because of what they saw some women wearing, they never came back. Because they said, you know, they don't dress like that in the church that I'm a part of. We need to think about that. That's telling. That's really telling. And I know we may have some immature who haven't quite learned those things yet, but that's telling people, because we have people here that should be more mature. And we men, yeah, we fall into the trap of carnality too, because when we do see those things, look at what Jesus said, by saying to you that whosoever looketh upon a woman and lust after her have committed adultery already in his heart. Matthew 5 and verse 28. So too short, too sheer, too low cut, too tight is too wrong. Because you can cause a person or you can help a person to sin. And that includes, brethren and sisters, that which covers too little. You know, the heat is on and the clothes are coming off. And you know, we have the people now walking around the beaches and the pools in their glorified fig leaves. We should have learned that a long time ago when with Adam and Eve. When they dressed themselves up, covered themselves in fig leaves, what did God do? God said, it's not enough. That's not enough. But yet, we're doing the same things today, and we have no shame. There is no shame. There is no shamefacedness. There is no being chaste. But instead, the world teaches us that we should be chaste instead of being chaste. Then we have, Satan says, don't go too far in commitment. and commitment. Satan says, don't commit yourself. You look too much like a fanatic. But the Lord says we must be committed. Amen. You know Matthew 22 and verse 37. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy soul. Let me ask you this. Are you going too far in commitment? Are you going too far in commitment? But next we have Pharaoh say, go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. Exodus 10, verse 11. But Satan says today, serve the Lord, but it's not for the entire family. It's not for the entire family. Just as long as someone in your house serves, you're all covered. You're all covered. That's what the Lord wants us to, that's what Satan wants us to believe. But the Lord says, it's for the men. Let's go all the way back to Genesis. The compliment he gave to Abraham in Genesis 18 and verse 19, it says, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Look at the example of Abraham. Yes, it is for the men, but it is also for the women. We just read Titus, but to repeat it again, to be discreet, chaste, keepers of the home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Titus 2 and verse 5, but yes, it's also for the children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father, thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Ephesians 6 verses 1 through 3. Yes, it is for the entire family. You remember what Joshua said to the children of Israel in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Joshua would say, as for me and my household, or for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's because Joshua understood that except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Psalm 127 and verse 1. But then Satan will go on, Pharaoh will go on to say, serve the Lord, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. Exodus 10 and verse 24. So what does Satan say? Satan say, be saved, but remember your possessions are yours. Your possessions are yours. Let's look at something here. When Satan rules the mind, then you will be like the dictator. The dictator says what's yours is mine. When Satan rules the mind, you'll be like the selfish. The selfish says what is mine is mine. But when the Lord rules the heart, he rules the humble. And the humble says what is mine is yours. That's because the humble knows that every good gift and every perfect gift is from him above and cometh down from the Father of lights. James 1 and verse 17. The humble also realizes that the earth, the very earth that we live on, is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof, that means everything. The world and they that dwell therein. Psalm 124 and verse 1. The Lord would rather us be like the Samaritan. Remember when the Samaritan came upon the man who had been robbed and beaten and just left for dead? What did the Samaritan do? Well, the Samaritan was willing to share, wasn't he? Not only was he just willing to share, but he was willing to share his time. Remember, he had to stop. He stopped. And then he shared his abilities. He administered aid. Now, he dressed the man's wounds and administered aid to the man. And then he shared his resources. Remember, he placed the man on his donkey. His donkey. Ever pick someone up and just give them a ride in your car? Place him in his donkey. And then he used his money. He paid the innkeeper to take care of the man. And you know what? Then he went even beyond that. He told the innkeeper, and if he owes you any more, put that to my charge. Put that to my charge. Yeah. But Satan says, oh, that's going too far. That's going too far. Well, then, last thing Pharaoh would say, this was after the plague where the firstborn were killed, and Satan lost his Pharaoh lost his firstborn. And Pharaoh would say, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and your children and the children of Israel. Go serve the Lord as you have said, and take your flocks and your herds. But he didn't want anything anymore, did he? He didn't want anything to do with them, as you have said. And he said, and be gone. Be gone. That's Exodus 12, verses 30 and 31. Well, what does Satan say? Satan says, I'm gone. I'm gone. What I mean by that? Satan will leave us alone, likewise, if we refuse to listen to him. The Lord says you don't have to give in to him. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4 and verse 7. You don't have to be deceived by him, lest Satan should get the advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. We don't have to be ignorant of the things that Satan's going to try. We've seen it all. You know, Solomon would say there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing. Nothing. Not a thing. So you don't have to be deceived by him. But guess what? He will be back. He will be back. Remember when Jesus was tempted, when Jesus was sent over to the wilderness to be tempted? And he was tempted of Satan. And what it says in Luke 4 and verse 13, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. That means he's coming back. He's coming back. But you know what? Don't have to worry about that. He will flee. So when Satan says, worship where you are, don't go too far, it's not for the entire family, your possessions are yours. Look, will you listen to Satan or will you listen to the Lord? That's the question that comes to you this morning. But you know what? There was one more thing. In Exodus chapter 8 and verse 10, this was something very telling about Pharaoh, how selfish and how self-absorbed he really was. In Exodus 8, you remember when the frogs, you know, the plague of the frogs, you know, the frogs were everywhere. They were in the bed chambers. They were in the ovens. They were all over the house. And they stank, the Bible said. Now, just imagine your house full of frogs, these stinky frogs. And they're everywhere. They're in your cupboards, in the pantry, and in your ovens, in your closets, in your bathroom. You couldn't go anywhere without these stinky frogs. It was so bad that the people pleaded with Pharaoh, please go and tell Moses to take away these frogs. So Pharaoh goes to Moses, and he says for Moses to take away the frogs. Moses asked Pharaoh, okay, Pharaoh, when would you like me to take them away? And guess what Pharaoh said? Tomorrow. He wants to spend one more night with the frogs. Just to show his power, so he can have some little inkling of power tomorrow. But you know what Satan says today? Take away your sins tomorrow. Tomorrow. Spend one more day in the filth of sin. But the Lord says, today is the accepted time. Today is the accepted time. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Because tomorrow is not certain, people. You may never have another opportunity to obey the gospel. Tomorrow may never come. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a short or a little time, and then vanisheth away. James chapter 4 and verse 14. You need to obey while today is today. Don't listen to what Satan says and say wait until tomorrow to have your sins taken away. Look, obeying the gospel is easy. Jesus says that all you have to do, first of all, is believe. John 8:24, verse 24, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. But you know what? Satan says, stop right there, because that's going too far if you don't. But the Lord says, no, you got something else to do. You need to repent. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, it says, lest you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And repent means to turn. You turn around. You turn your life around. So you need to repent. But Satan says, okay, well, stop right there. Stop right there, or you're going too far. But no, the Lord says, nah, there's something else you need to do also. And that's confess. Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 10 and verse 32. No confession is made unto salvation, it says in Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. So you need to confess, just like that eunuch did on the road. And he asked, what good hinder me to be baptized? And Philip asked him, hey, if you believe, or told him, if you believe, thou mayest. And he made that confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But then Satan says, nope, confession, yep, okay. Don't go any further, or you're going too far. But the Lord says, no, there's something else you need to do, and that's be baptized. Because that's where your sins are taken away. You know, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, the Lord says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So that's where you're saved. When you come up out of that water, your sins are washed away. He adds you to that body that we talked about. And look, the Lord says, you better be a member of that one body and not the any other. Because that's the only body he's going to add you to. That's the only body that he has to save to. And that's after baptism. That is after baptism. Well, didn't Satan will tell you, okay, I lost another one. I've lost another one. But you know what? I'll be back. I'll be back. But you know what the Lord says? Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Don't worry about Satan coming back, because the Lord's got your back. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Revelation 2 and verse 10. So if you need to respond, don't wait. Do it today while we stand and sing.
7:01. Tomorrow may be too late. Today is a